Today I want to kind of get into an area that's good for me. I don't know about you, but I don't know how to title these things. I'm not the best at titling the messages. I just kind of throw them out there and just see where it goes. But I did come up, one title I had was Immerse Yourself in the Things of God, and I thought, well, that's kind of like helped me get to the process of what I think led me into some scriptures. But I changed that as I kept working on it yesterday. And it basically what I was wanting to bring across to everybody is that you can bloom in the wintertime. In our natural conception of things, of blooming and growing, when the winter and fall come, we kind of get the understanding through nature that it's a downtime and everything just kind of closes in. Not that they've died. There's still growth going on. There's still vitality in trees and bushes and shrubs and everything that's out there. But you don't see the beauty of it. It's all in behind the things, and it's underground, and it's in the stems or wherever the case is. And so you can look at it and say, well, okay, you know, it's not dead, but it's just not as pretty as it is in the summertime. Well, in a few of us that were here last week for leadership, I had lunch and all back in the fellowship hall, and as I was just thanking them for coming and saying what we had to eat, I think, I don't know exactly, and my eye caught glimpse of a bloom on one of the bushes back there. I think it's an azalea. I don't even know what they are for sure. I think it's an azalea tree or bush. I don't know. It's just got pretty flowers. Pardon? Is that a hibiscus? Okay. Hibiscus. So that tells you how much of a gardener I am. I just look at the beauty of it. I don't know what they're called, you know, but it's pretty. So anyway, you know, we've been nurturing these things and bringing them in. So anyway, last Sunday, I'm thanking everybody that was there at the table, and I just caught the bloom of a red flower back on that bush. And it's like, oh my gosh, in the dead of winter, look at this. This is awesome. And I kind of got mesmerized. They thought I saw deer out there in the field or something, because I just kind of left the table and went away from them, and I walked over to the window to the plant, and I was just looking at it. And I thought, wow. That is so awesome. So then, you know, that later that day and maybe the next day, I thanked the Lord as he began to talk to me. And my spirit, I think, was searching out some things. And I'm just in awe of things of God, as most of us are, I hope. But I began to see how even in the dire of winter, that tree, that bush, whatever we call it, it had a bloom on it. Now, we've taken care of it and we've brought it in. The first year or two that I would buy those, I left them out to where it froze, and they were dead, and we just threw them away. But I've learned, you know, to bring it in and nurture it. And the current two that we've got, and I've shared this before, but the current two that we've got, they've got to be 6 years or more old, I think. I don't know. Every year I bring them back in when the first sign of frost comes. I load them up on the dolly. I bring them in, and I put them back in the fellowship hall, and I put them in that southern exposure window. And it's like, we'll take care of you. For a few months. And we water them and we just put them there in the window. I don't really talk to them. I might say, wow, that's awesome. Look at what this is, God. Wow. You know, but I'm not giving them a cheer or anything back there like, come on, bloom. Come on, bloom. You know, we water it once a week and let it go. If you were to go back there, and I was going to bring the one out here today, but we kind of overwatered it. I watered it. I watered it this like Tuesday because I was wanting to really, then I wanted to nurture and take care of it. Like, I want to put some extra water in it. And I thought, Lord, we've got to have some sun because when the sun comes out, it'll even pop even more, you know. Well, I watered it, but the sun didn't come out. And then I think Dan, he comes in on Sundays and he waters it himself. And now we got water in the thing back there. But it's okay. I thought, I'm not going to drag it out because I've done that before and had water all the way down the hallway. So I thought, well, that's okay. But I would bring it out here to show you that there's not just one or two blooms on it, but there's probably seven buds on it. Seven buds that are about ready that will open up sometime this next week or days as they open up to what they do. So it comes to this. You can bloom in your winter. No matter what season you are in spiritually with God, it is important. Or may I say that it's vital that you stay close to God. It is only then that you will come through that time that we may call a dry time. You know, we've heard that. Oh, I'm just going through a dry spell, you know. We might phrase it as saying, well, I'm in the wilderness, you know. I'm just in the wilderness time with God. It's just wherever that's at, you know. We've talked about that. The feeling of a distance between yourself and God, whatever it is, you're just that distance. You just don't seem the things happening as like they were maybe 6 months ago or 5 months ago, whatever the case is. Whatever you want to call it, it basically comes down to you feel like nothing is happening in your spiritual life, or that you sense that you're stuck in neutral. You're not moving one way or the other with God. You just feel like you're there. You're just maintaining. You're treading water. You're maybe not even treading water. You just kind of turned over in the water in a swimming pool, and you're floating on your back like, huh, okay, wherever the waves take me. You know, if you're out in the ocean or something like that, it's like wherever the waves take me, they'll probably push you back up on the beach, I guess, unless you get past whatever the things are. But wherever I'm pushed by the waves, that's where I will go. That might be where you feel sometimes in these seasons with God. Now, in the natural, we look at this and we can see the natural. There is a time for the seasons. We find that in Ecclesiastes, where it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season. Could find that as far as in the Amplified. For everything there is a time that is appointed. A time for every purpose under heaven. We understand, and we hope we understand, that God has a set time of appointments with you, and they're not going to line up with the calendar of the earth as far as spring, summer, fall, winter. But we look at those things as a thought process to be able to understand the things of God when we are in different times of seasons, because some of us in here today, well, you might be in the spring of your season when spiritually. Others of you might be summer. Some might be in winter. Some might be in fall. We are all in different levels of seasons with God in our lives. But it helps us to look, and I'm so thankful that I love being in an area that has what? Four seasons. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. Because it gives me an understanding of things, of how things grow and develop, and how they produce throughout the year. And even though they're in a season of a year that doesn't seem like a part of the year that doesn't seem to be very flourishing, but they're still growing, they're still nurturing, they're still waiting for that next season. These flowers, these plants, these trees, when winter comes, when the fall hits and they lose their leaves, and winter comes and it's like frigid cold, the trees out there don't say, well, I'm dead and I'll never be of use next spring. I'm just going to die here and not be useful for anything. Trees don't do that. You know, God in his infinite wisdom of creation and how he put all that together, they know that they draw down their sap and they pull down their moisture, because if they did not pull down their sap or their moisture down into the trunk or down and back down as far as they can, maybe down into the root system or deep into the trunk, if there was water and things left out in those branches, when it did freeze, there would be more likelihood of damage to the branch. I've read that somewhere, and it sounded good to me. Makes sense that if all that nutrients and all that sap and all that moisture, or you know, the vitamins or the water moisture going through the things to get to the end of the leaf to make it in the flower, when it got cold, that's what happens. That's why leaves fall off when fall comes. They break off. The nutrients going to them have stopped, and they've got that little point there, and that's what gives us the blessing of being able to rake leaves. Anybody thank God for raking leaves? Thank you, Lord, for all of these leaves. You're a mighty God, and I can see it here, you know. It's like, now we go to a leaf blower. Thank you, God, it's going a lot faster now. You know, I just blow them babies all over. I don't know. Vacuum them up, whatever it is. But we see that there's a purpose and a season in those things and how it all works. But a tree, just because they lose their leaves, they don't give up and say, I'm not going to be of any good next year. They'll get even stronger next year, you know, when they come back. So that gives us, I think, in the spiritual looking of things, that ability to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to look at the natural and I'm going to look at the spiritual and see how that all kind of looks similar to those things. And I think the Lord has helped us in those things. And by telling us, now, if you go into Ecclesiastes, you know, it says there's a time to die, there's a time to grow, there's a time to do all these things. There's a time. It's a wonderful thing that they use, you know, when somebody dies. It's like, well, you know, to everything there's a season. Birth, you know, growing, dying. It's like, oh, that's a heck of a season, man, dying. But we use that at times in funeral passages, and you kind of dig into the purposes of all that. But God has a season of time for all of us to go through. Spiritual dryness can be a specific time that the Lord wants us to go through as a time of testing and preparation. Many times as we go through this time, It's kind of a maybe a downtime. Maybe it's a time that he says, okay, come a little bit back from where you're at. Let's regroup. Let's rethink some things. And let's get you set back on maybe the path that I really want you on, because the last 6 months or last 9 months or whatever the case is, it's kind of gotten, you know, a little wavy out there. It's been kind of distorted or whatever. So it might be a time of testing. It could be a time of preparation and pulling you back. Spiritual dryness can also be a time of preparation. Most every major person in the Bible that was used mightily of God went through a desert time. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, Paul, you name them. You know, key people in the Bible, they went through some ups and they went through some downs. And God had them in those seasons of maybe those down times to get them prepared for the next ump, the next hill, the next journey that they were to go on. And so that's also, we can look at that as a time of a proving ground or of strengthening to come or refinement or something like that within our lives. We look at this as one of the seasons we would look at this as one of the seasons we may be with God. And like I've already said, you know, some in winter, some in fall, some in spring, some in summer around here. I've already shared about Ecclesiastes. And so as I looked at that plant back there, and I began to see things in it, it's like it's kind of doing its own thing, but we've had to kind of help it and give it the basis of the basic things to kind of help it. Because I'm going to tell you, as much as we have put it in and bring it into a warmer room, put it to where it gets sun, I think there's still a sun, isn't there, out there? Yeah. It's been like 3 weeks or something, I don't know. It's been a while since we've seen the sun. If you didn't water it, it would still dry up and die. So it takes a element of many things working together to really keep something flourishing or to really have something reach its full potential. The same is true. We could water it pretty consistently, but if I left it outside, it would freeze and die and it would be no good. We could bring it inside and we can water it and all, and if I would try to close up the blinds to where it did not get any kind of light at all, chances are if we just put it in a dark room, it would probably eventually what? Die. So there are elements and things that we are doing in the natural to take care of that foliage back there, but for the most part, we're just doing the very minimal. Water. I've shared this a long time back. I've had flowers and plants that I used to take care of, you know, at our house, and a long time back. We don't even do that stuff now. It's like, who's got time, you know? Give me artificial. They're good all the time. But I could see it. I could see the leaves shrink and just shrivel up, and I'd notice it, and I go, wow, I think that plant is thirsty for water. And it was by a window. All the good elements in the house was working, but it didn't have the water. And I'd go to the kitchen, and I'd put the sink on. I'd get the water poured in that pot, and probably within about an hour and a half or thereabouts, or maybe a couple hours, you'd go back later that morning or that afternoon early on, and the leaves would be opened up, and there'd be vitality back in that plant. It happened that fast, just to give whatever plant that was, to give them that drink, that shot in the arm of moisture, water, going back into its system, it came back to life and the leaves looked great. I think the poor plant in itself, when we were talking to it, was probably thinking we were torturing it, you know. You know, you feed us and then you don't feed us for three weeks and now we're drying up again, you know. It's like some kind of torture process. But you notice those things. And I saw that at that time, how vital it was for certain things to be done. And so now with this plant back there and seeing the buds that are on it, and we're just doing the very bare minimal of maintaining it, but yet it's still growing and doing wonderful things within itself. We've not even put any fertilizer hardly on that thing for years. I know Dan's going to bring some in, I think, this next week, because, you know, we're saying, oh, we ought to take care of it a little bit better. Poor little thing, you know. It's like, you know, we got 8 buds on there. If we had some fertilizer, you might have, you know, 16 buds on there. I don't know. But it just has just basic old dirt. I just go to the hardware store, buy a bag of dirt, and pour it on there whenever the dirt gets down and the roots are showing. So very bare minimal. But yet just that, it maintains and it does well. Now when we look at everything, there's a season, a time. Time, a particular time, a particular season, a particular age, or an occasion. are some period of time. When we were talking about there's a period of time, there's some time, and a time that's appointed. And how can we stay immersed with God when we need to be immersed or stay connected to Him even in those dry times or those desert times or that wilderness time? There's a time, I think, what happens is a lot of people, when they get into that realm of dryness, desert, they just step back totally from God, thinking that God has given up on them, not realizing, oh, it's maybe a testing time. Oh, maybe it's a preparation time to get ready for something even greater this next season out. So what I wanted to begin to look at here just a little bit, and I looked in and it just kind of came to mind and just like, okay, Lord, how would I stay kind of immersed with You even in a dry time, kind of like what we're doing with that shrub back there with just water and just the sun and just keeping it in a fairly well, a lot warmer room than outside. And I came up with, you got to be in the Word of God. You're going to have to pray, meditate. You need to stay active in serving. You need to offer up praise. You need to have fellowship with God. You know, these are things that we need to do even in our dry season, even in that time of winter, wherever we might be within our spiritual life. So let us look first at Psalms 119. Psalms 119:11 just tells us this. And the heading of Psalms 119 says, Meditations on the Excellences of the Word of God. And how true that is. If we're going to sustain ourselves into whatever season we're in, you need to have the Word of God around you, in you, being reminded of, reading it, meditating upon it, and it is truly that of excellence of His Word. But anyway, in 119:11, it just says this, Your Word I have hidden in my heart, and it says that I might not sin against You. The key to this, though, is you hide His Word in your heart. You know, you need the Word of God in your life, don't you? Day in and day out. Not just in the good times, but also in the bad times. Not just in the good times of everything's happening and spiritually I'm being used by God in this and this is just opening up and happening and look what God is moving and developing. But even in those times when we don't see those elements of God really moving like we would like, the important thing is, and one of the things we need to do, is we need to hide His Word in our heart. I have hidden Your Word in my heart. It's kind of like that of possible like a fertilizer, you know, as we put fertilizer on the plant, that we're not going to see it. I'm just going to put it in, and it's going to go in the ground, and eventually it'll be absorbed into the system and the nutrients that it needs, and it'll go into what it needs to go into the plant, and the plant will pull from it what it needs. That is what we do with the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, as we just stay connected to it, you know, and just touch upon it daily or meditate or, you know, as we have Bible scripture reading or if you're in a Bible program for the year of reading through the Bible, is just being able to get the Word of God and keeping it in your heart. You need to be able to trust the Word of God. If you don't trust it, it's not going to do you any good, will it? Because God's Word tells us a lot of wonderful things. And a lot of them are like, wow, I don't know. That's really way out there, God, for what I would believe of myself, you know, what He thinks of me, because we think a lot less of ourselves. But what God is saying in His Word, we've got to be able to trust it as well. While you're in Psalms, I'm just going to go in that same chapter and jump over to 42. In 42 it says, So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in Your Word. He is talking. He said, I'm trusting in Your Word, God, of what You're telling me, that I can take it for what it says. Again, throughout God's Word, or there's verbiage there where it says, you don't add anything to it, you don't take anything away from it. The Word of God is there from the very beginning to the end that gives us trust and faith and help and hope to be able to go through whatever season we're in. Now remember, this is that dry time. This is the thing where not a lot of things are happening. It's just, you feel like you're just isolated from the things of God. And don't feel that you're isolated from the things of God. Let it be that of a time of encouragement. Amen. How many here can be encouraged in a dry time? It's good if you can, but it's hard to do it sometimes, isn't it? Because we've heard so much things about, maybe we're thinking like, oh man, it's just hard to keep motivated. It's hard that maybe I've upset God. Maybe I've done something to he doesn't love me anymore. He's taken his anointing off of me. And what's going to happen now, Lord? And a lot of times, I don't think it's that. A lot of times, I think he is just taking us and setting us kind of like a potter. As the potter is working on that clay, they've molded it to a point, and now he might just set it on the shelf for a while to just kind of sit there and just sit there, you know? And maybe it's those times that he might rework it a little bit before it dries out. I don't know. But all I know is the watering of God's Word, amen, the watering of God's Word into our lives will give us that spiritual moisture to help us continue to be vibrant. You don't have to be going gangbusters for God to be doing something for God. Amen? You don't have to be going on the mission field. You don't have to have a street ministry, and you don't have to be doing 5 or 6 or 8 things out there to be serving God to make it look like the more that I'm doing, the more that I'm serving God. You can serve God just doing one thing, if that's the one thing that God has asked you to do, right? It's finding that one thing that God has asked you to do and say, I'll do it. Now maybe you might have 3 things. I don't know. We're all different people and what God is going to do within us. But to know that you stay connected to him, you take his word, you put it in your heart, you remember his word and what it says, you have to trust in his word. In Luke 8:15, it says that we need to retain it. What is that? Let's see. 8:15. Now this is, you get into that area, that's the parable of the sower. Now, what you find in the very beginning of Luke 8, if I jump up to verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is what? Now we're talking about sowing seed out there. And we place it and we scatter it, and it's talking about some falls on the dry ground, some falls in the off to the side, some falls in the good ground. So this is going through that parable of the sower of seed. And it says in 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And it talks about those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes it away, the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the one on the rock are those who hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away, or a time of testing, they fall away. Very true. I've seen that. You've seen that. I'm not saying anything new, that you've not seen people that had the word of God put upon them, and they were really good and going through some things, and then when really it came through testing or trials or something like that, pretty soon it was gone. Now the one that falls among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and they're choked with the cares, riches, and the pleasures of life. That happens very easily. Many, many wonderful people of God that have had the power of God on them and had so much put upon them, and God has such a wonderful plan for them and a purpose in his kingdom. But they get out there and it's sowed among the thorns. So they get out there and the cares of this life begin to come back in and encroach upon the things of God. But then it says, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The one that fell on good ground, this is the seed, the word of God, are those who have heard the word with a good heart. They keep it and bear fruit with patience. There again, please note the word patience. It just didn't maybe sprout up all of a sudden, and we can go into the understanding of the planting of a seed and how long it takes to go. You know, even out here we've talked, and I've seen farmers out here even before, throughout different types of snows or when it's not snowed and where the ground is at, that they're already out here working the land that they've got in preparation for putting the seed in, you know, this next spring. But we look at the land as being idle, but the farmer looks at it as there's some work to be done, and I'm going to patiently do it to get it prepared for that next time when we plant. The same thing here. You know, but we need to let it retain within us. We need to keep it in our heart. Well, it goes back to that same thing. You know, the word of God in your heart, keep it retained. Retain his word, and that you will be like that, to where you'll be noble and have a good heart, and you will bear fruit. And now we're having that study in the back there on the fruit and the vine, and but kind of ties into this as well with patience. And I think in the final there of God's word, you've got to obey it. Many times people don't obey the God's word. They may read it, and they might want to tell you what you've got to do, but sometimes they don't want to hear it themselves or obey it themselves. What does James 1 say? Remember, this is how do you stay immersed in the things of God in your winter, in that season of time that you feel like there's really nothing happening. I believe, and I know that even when somebody would come to me and say, well, Pastor, I just feel like I'm in that dry time, there are still things working in their life. God is still nurturing. He's still putting things in them. They're just being prepared. They just may not know exactly what for at that time. So in James 1, 22, it says this. Well, I'm going to go up in 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It gets down to the point, you know, we've talked about this and you've heard this, be doers of the word. You can be a doer of the word even in your wilderness time. It's not a time sometimes just to sit back and do nothing, and then maybe it is. You know, that's one of those things of God in you. But also it could be a thing to where you can still be in that season of time of waiting and all, and still be used by God and being purposeful and helps in the kingdom. We've got to look at the Word of God individually, what it means and pertains to our life individually. Now, we can look at it corporately at times, but for the most part, you know, God is speaking, and He speaks to my heart sometimes a whole lot different than He speaks to your heart. And what I sense and what He's talking to Tim about may not be anything that He's talking to Jan about or to Willie or Lou or Wayne or Julie or any of us. You know, he's talking to each of us in the levels that He has us and what He's working on, because he is like that potter. He's working on us. He's molding us. He's putting that word. We're receiving His word because His word has been given to us in the Scriptures, so we can read His word. That's one good thing. We can put it into our heart and kind of say, I'm going to keep it in my heart. We can begin to trust it, because as we hear God, we read His word, we trust Him as we go through. A lot of times it's through adversities and things that you see that God's word is so true, because we come out on the other side of that and we go, oh, thank you, God. It was your word that sustained me. It was your word that gave me that strength, that I knew that it would be a better day tomorrow or the next day. But I know, Lord, that your word says that you do not leave me, that you're with me, and you're going to go through this with me. So that's those trust, that's that faith, that's that thing building up in us that no matter what season we're in, that we can continue marching on. Amen. Don't just sit there. Amen. Keep marching. Keep going. Keep doing something, you know. Keep yourself busy as best you can. But the thing is, in James, is we need to obey the Word of God. And I know in the Sunday school class today, it talked about, you know, the biggest hindrance to why people, the fruit, there is no fruit on their vine, or they've gotten away from that. The big thing is sin. Sin has come in and has choked out the fruit of the vine, the fruit of what you would be doing for God. And so you got to deal with that to be able to be used again. And God will help you. Amen. It was a good lesson back there that they shared on about how God works with us and lifts us up and the areas of how He takes care of it, whether it's, you know, was it rebuking, scourging? Which word am I missing? All of a sudden I went blank. Chastening. Thank you, Tracy. Those areas of how He works within us. And He reflected it as how we as parents take care of our kids as well. So reading the Word of God and helping with that, that's to me is like that watering of the Word. Now, even during these times that we're seeing these things, we don't see a lot of activity in the spiritual aspect of things. You know, we're going to do that. Praying. There's so much here that you can look at. In praying, we're already... Well, we aren't already there. Let's jump back real quick just in Luke 18. We'll just kind of touch upon a few scriptures. I mean, you can go back and forth throughout the Word of God in these areas. I think basically just to get the point across is by staying in His Word, by praying, by meditating, by worshiping Him, by serving, and by fellowshipping with Him, you will be where you need to be with God, even in your dry times or that winter of your season. And it's awesome to see somebody bloom in the winter, you know, as things come together. In Luke 18, just basically in the first verse, then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So many times when we're going through a struggle, how many here lose heart? Man, I do. You know, to be honest, there's times after you're going through something, and maybe it's the first one or two things you go through, you know, you don't lose heart, you're praying about it. And then possibly after maybe the eighth or ninth situation that you're dealing with, it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm wore down. I've just been battered down on this. And so it's very easy to lose heart. I mean, there's just things, you know, not that they've lost heart, but I just know there's things in our family that some of my kids have gone through just recently with just the illnesses, and even in our body of believers here, that knowing what families have gone through with illnesses and the flu and the viruses and all that, that it just seems like about every other day when you think you can scratch off, like, okay, that prayer is over, now we've only got, you know, eight people to pray for now, you know. Pretty soon that ninth one pops back up on the list again. It's like, oh, really, Lord? Really? What's going on? So it's easy to lose heart when you get so much pushed down on you. We find that in our life, you know, as we're so strong in the things of God. Generally, we will find that nothing that I feel that God puts upon us to do or serve, or He's got us in these areas of ministries and all that, none of those things really get to the point of pushing us down and we just lose heart. It's usually out in the world's aspect of things that we get so wrapped up in. And you know what? That's where we're at. We live in the world. You know, we're there. It's part around us. It's what we're maintaining throughout every day. And so it's that act of being able to deal with those things. And that's where it's really easy to begin to lose heart, because it's just so much pressure, so much stress, so much. After a while, you just say, anybody ever got to the point to say enough's enough, you know? And that's okay, because enough is enough. And then you just begin to recharge your batteries. You just begin to rethink some things. You begin to maybe step back and just let some things filter through and say, okay, Lord, okay, we're just going to take this season and we're just going to chill, you know? I'm not going to leave You. You know, I'm not going to stop my prayers. I'm not going to stop fellowshipping with You, or I'm not going to stop, you know, attending church and things like that. But I've got to take some time, and I've got to get my compass fixed here again, because it just seems like one thing after another. And I think what we find a lot of times is, and I'm not going to give the devil credit that he's the one putting it on us. It's just life. Anybody that's living, there's stress. There's things happening. There's things out of your control that affects you, you know? And you've got to deal with it. And it's not that you've been bad. It's not that it's God's mad. It's not any of that. It's just that's happens to be life. We've learned so much in regards to stress that people are under and how it affects them. And everyone in here is under stress of some sort. And some know how to deal with it better. Others know how not to deal with it. And others, it's just a matter of how, when it comes, you just process it and work through it. But when it comes to the point of so much being pushed upon you, it is vitally important for you to step back or sit down or do something, I don't know, just change something to where you can get some clarity of what you got to do. And then, whenever that time is, pick up and proceed again. I've shared this before of how the most innocent little thing can set a police officer off after weeks or months or even years of being on the police force. And all the tragedies they've seen, all the hardships they've seen, all the abuse they've taken, they've worked through it for years and years and years. And they've built it in, and they just keep piling it on. And this death doesn't mean no different than the last death. Okay, if it's a child or an infant, it really tears their heart out. But when you have officers or detectives say, you know, I've been in this for 25 or 30 years, to me, I go to a death and I see a young person that's dead, it's part of their job. And it's not that he's a bad guy, but after you're around something for so long, that's how he was dealing with it. He says, it's just part of my job, and I just go in, I look at the body, that's this, blah, 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 and go on. Well, a lot of those guys that do those things, all of a sudden, somebody just does something so minute that doesn't even affect anything, and they just blow their top. And it's like, what in the world happened there? And I've shared this before, and I see it in life, and I see it how it could affect me. I can see it how it can affect any of us in life, is how that distress just begins to pile up on you, and pile up on you, and pile up on you. And pretty soon, you don't have any way except when something that's the remotest, far from that, they just blow off, and it's like it doesn't even make sense. But because they kept pushing it down, accumulative stress. Many of us, even today, in people here, myself, we develop accumulative stress as it continues to come into our life and how we deal with it. It's situations that surprise us. It's an abnormal thing that happens all of a sudden. It's like, okay, now we got to deal with that, okay? And we can deal with it, usually, our body or all that flow of our adrenaline and all the things in our body that helps our chemical balance deal with these things. But there gets to a point in time where it gets to the point where you can't deal with it anymore and you just unwind and unravel and go crazy type thing. It's like, ah, you know, and then you really need some helps there. Life is out there for all of us. I want to pause this.